Hey everybody, it's Pastor Jeff here. On Sunday we had some technical difficulties, and so we didn't get the sermon recorded the way we wanted it to. So I am going to re-preach this message for our online church family, and this is going to be the Sermon on the Mount. It's the penultimate episode of this series, and so I wanted to make sure that we got a good, clean recording of it, and I wanted to make sure that anybody that usually watches online is able to stay caught up, because this coming Sunday, we're going to be doing the final message in this Sermon on the Mount series. It's going to be great. I hope to see you guys here in person or online. I know that you're going to be blessed either way. Let me pray, and then we're going to dive into the message today. Father God, I just thank you for what you're doing here, Lord. And God, I thank you for a church of people that are learning together what it means to love like Jesus. God, I pray that over these next few minutes, God, as people are watching online, God, that their hearts would be stirred towards you. God, that God, their hearts would be open to what you would have to say to them. And God, we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, I don't know about you guys, but there's one lie that kind of pervades a lot of other lies that you hear, and that is this one. It seems innocent, but it can really do some damage, especially psychologically to you, and it's this right here. It's please stay on the line, and your call will be answered in the order it was received. Or it'll say, your call is very important to us. One time, I had to call the IRS, and I ended up waiting on hold for 2.5 hours in order to talk to somebody. You know, and every 30 seconds, your call is important to us. Please remain on the line. And you're like, no, I know that you guys are taking a break right now. You're staring at my little flashing light on your receiver, and you're just pointing and laughing the whole time. And by the time I get on the phone with you, I'm so stirred up and I'm so angry at having to wait. It would have been so much better for you if you would have just answered my call or had enough agents to be able to answer my call. And of course, the worst part about it is by the time I got on the phone with them, it was only a 5-minute conversation. But the longer I wait, the shorter my fuse gets, right? I'm like talking to the auto attendant representative. The representative, is customer service. It's more like customer disservice. And if we're honest, sometimes our prayers feel like this. They feel like you pray and you wait, and you pray and you wait, and you pray and you wait, and eventually you start to wonder, God, are you even listening to me? God, are you even out there at all? And what I love about this section of the Sermon on the Mount that we're going to jump into now is that Jesus steps into that discouragement with three words. And he asks us and he admonishes us. He says, I want you to ask, I want you to seek, and I want you to knock. Not just once, but keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking. Truthfully, this is where so many of us live, isn't it? We ask ourselves, can I really trust God to come through for me? Or does he even really care? Does he know that I'm there? Why should I keep praying if nothing seems to change? If life just continues on, and in fact, it feels like most of the time things are getting worse. So we stop praying because we either feel ignored or abandoned. As we look at it, we're like, well, either God is not home, in which case, then I can at least understand somewhat why he doesn't seem to care. Or I feel like God is choosing not to answer, which feels like this direct slap in my face. And I don't know how to deal with that. I don't know how to process it. And so we ask these questions. Am I knocking on the wrong door? Am I not knocking in the right sequence? Maybe I'm not important enough for God to answer. Or maybe I've disappointed God. Or maybe I don't pray as much as I should. Or maybe I don't read the Bible as much as I should. Maybe I'm not attending church like I used to. Maybe I don't tithe because I'm feeling financially stretched. Maybe I never get a chance to serve. Maybe I never tell my friends about Jesus. Maybe I have a hard time loving my neighbor. And one or all or most of those reasons might be why God isn't answering me in this season. And the truth is, we tend to put on God the same way we think about our other relationships, where we assume that God is going to treat us the way that I treat other people. Last week in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 6, Jesus taught us not to condemn people hypocritically, but to pursue restoration humbly. He said, don't go after the speck in your brother's eye until you've first corrected and taken a look at the plank that's in your own eye. But once you do, work towards restoring them. Once you do, go ahead and step in, because God wants to do something in their life. Now Jesus continues and he expands the conversation. And like I said last week, this is really part two of the message that we did last week. He expands the conversation by saying, if you want wisdom, if you want to know how to approach somebody in that situation, they've got a speck, you've got a plank, I need wisdom in knowing how to deal with this situation, ask. If I want healing in my relationships, I should seek after him. And if I want restoration, then I should continue to knock, trusting that God is going to be there for me. And then Jesus roots all of it in this truth, and this is really what we're going to explore and dive into today, and that is that God is a good father. God is a good father. He wants to give good gifts to his children. When we talk about asking, seeking, and knocking, in this context, he's talking about relationships, but really, he's also talking about every area of your life, because we know that God wants to give us good gifts. And so what we see here is that our the real question that Jesus is asking us to examine is this question of if God is really good. And if God is good, then faith keeps knocking, because God is a good father. Faith is going to keep on knocking because we can trust that God is good. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8 says this. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone, think about that for a minute. Everybody who asks receives. That includes you and it includes me. It includes all of us, those watching online, those in person. It includes all of us to say, everyone who asks receives. To the one who seeks, they will find. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Now, what I love about, you know, just kind of a little grammar side note here, is this was spoken in the present imperative tense. I don't actually know what that means, other than what it indicates is that these actions should be taken immediately and habitually. Immediately and habitually. So it's not just ask once, it's ask and keep on asking. But it also implies do it right now. Don't wait, don't delay, don't shrink back because you think that there might be other things going on in your life or there might be conflicts that you're facing. Instead, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. This is persistent faith. This is what God has called us to. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus mirrors this teaching. We don't know if it was done at the same time or a different time, but it's the same teaching. But in that teaching, he expands just a little bit. He tells about a story about a man who knocks on his friend's door at midnight, and he uses this phrase that I love. He says, with shameless audacity. With shameless audacity, he knocks on his friend's door. Jesus says in that parable, the man isn't going to get up because he loves his friend. He's not going to get up because he has an abundance of bread to give. He's not even going to get up because it's inconvenient or because he is going to get something out of it later. But instead, even though it's inconvenient, even though it's troublesome, even though the kids are already tucked into bed, the man is going to get up because he knows that that guy is going to knock and just keep on knocking until he gets his answer. Jesus is teaching here that faith doesn't quit when the answer feels delayed. Instead, we need to continue pressing in to all that God has for us. And what we see then is, what we see here is that in Matthew 7, God isn't displayed or God isn't portrayed as a neighbor that's annoyed by your knocking. Instead, Jesus says that he's a father who loves his children. Which of you, he says, if your son asks for bread, will give him a snake? Or which of you, if he asks for fish, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask of him? And what we see here is that prayer is not convincing a reluctant God to care about you. It's not convincing somebody who's dragging their feet. It's not the man in bed who's like, oh, I can't believe I have to get up, but I guess I'm going to, because otherwise this guy is just going to keep knocking. What we see here is that it's not about convincing a reluctant God to care about you. Instead, prayer is about coming to a God who already does care, who already does love you, who already does want what's best for you. And he uses this analogy of our imperfect earthly parents to say, even you parents know how to care for your children, know how to give them what they want and what they need. And then he says, how much more does your heavenly Father love you? How much more does your heavenly Father love you? In Luke chapter 11, going back to that teaching, he says, even though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. You see, Jesus gave us the good gift of the Holy Spirit, who's our counselor, who's our helper, who's our comforter, and who is our guide. We don't have time to go into all that means right now, but if you want more information, on Wednesday the 27th, we're going to be starting a class called The Helper, which is going to be a special emphasis in our School of the Spirit class. We're going to be diving into this idea of how the Holy Spirit wants to help us in our day-to-day life, and I hope that you guys will be able to come out for that. It's going to be a great time. We're going to be spending some time learning about the Holy Spirit, and then we're going to spend a whole bunch of time with the Holy Spirit, asking him to help us, asking him to be with us in our lives, and giving people opportunities to get baptized in the Holy Spirit as well. If you'd like to know more about this gift that is the Holy Spirit, make sure to come on Wednesday night starting May 27th. Now, Jesus is teaching this section of Scripture that we call the Sermon on the Mount, which is an incredibly well-designed piece of teaching. In fact, we've spent 10 weeks now going through the depth and poring over the different intricacies of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus now is wrapping up this main body of teaching. As you can see in the graphic, we are in the middle section. There's an introduction, there's a conclusion, there's the three different sections, and then each section is broken into three sections. We are in the bottom right of that graphic, and what that means is that we are getting close to the end. In fact, next week, we're going to be wrapping up the series, but in this penultimate episode, Jesus is going to walk us through kind of a summary to the main body teaching. Some of the things that we've learned so far in this series is that God is a good father, like we've been talking about, who wants to give good gifts to his children. And because he's a good father, he's trying to teach us some things as well. He's trying to teach us, trying to show us how to live the blessed life. And so what he's done is he's taught us, don't hate. Well, first he said, don't murder. Then he said, don't hate. And then he said, make sure to reconcile with the person that has something against you. He said, don't lust, don't commit adultery, but instead pursue purity in every situation. He said, don't worry. Instead, trust the Father to take care of your needs. He said, don't perform your religion hypocritically, whether it's giving or fasting or praying. Don't do it in front of other people in order to receive a blessing, because if you do, you've already received your reward. Instead, he says, walk sincerely before God. And if you need to, even go into your prayer closet, even make sure that you've showered, even make sure that you're not giving in front of other people, because you want to walk sincerely. You want to give out of a grateful heart. You want to serve out of a heart that is blessed by God, and not in order to curry favor with other people. He said, don't judge people harshly. Instead, pursue restoration. He said, don't get revenge. Instead, go the extra mile. And here's the thing. In all of those different situations, we could add this this addendum or this thought onto it. As Jesus is concluding, we can add this thought that in all of these things, if you added the phrase, because God is good, to the beginning of it, you would say, because God is good, don't hate, instead pursue reconciliation. Because God is good, don't lust after the things of this world, instead pursue purity, and on and on and on. Because God is good, I don't have to take. I don't have to hoard. I don't have to promote myself. I don't have to fight. I don't have to worry about other things. I can forgive. I can let go. I can surrender. I can trust because I know that God is good. And this is the blessed life that God has called us to. If we can just wrap our heads around this idea that God is good, all of the other things fall into place. This is the blessed life that God has for us, that we can trust Him no matter what we go through, because He is good. This is what it means to live as people of the kingdom. And then Jesus concludes His teaching, except for the epilogue that we're going to get to next week, with the golden rule that says, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Now Jesus in Matthew 5:17, this is the top left of the graphic, in Matthew 5:17, He begins the Sermon on the Mount by saying that He did not come to abolish the law, but instead to fulfill it. And now at the end of this teaching, he wraps it back around and he says, okay, I didn't come to abolish the law, I came to fulfill it. Here are some of the ways that we need to work inside of the law. And now if I was going to sum up all of the law, all of the prophets into one sentence, it would be this: do to others what you would have them do to you. At the conclusion, he summarizes it in this simple phrase that is so difficult to live out. It's almost like the law is designed to get you to love your neighbor. And if you're unsure how to do that, just refer back to the wisdom that's found in the law. In fact, in ancient Near Eastern culture, which is where Jesus was operating, and the kind of the time and the space and the culture that he was operating in, this was a really common proverb, but it was almost always spoken or written in the negative. Don't do to others what you don't want them to do to you. And I see this all the time in my kids. And I even feel it a lot inside of myself, where I'm like, why would you do that? You don't want me to do it back to you, do you? Why are you acting like that? That's not how you want to be treated. And so it's almost always presented in this negative case. But Jesus flips it because he says the goal isn't to avoid sin. The goal is to pursue love. And the goal is to show people how to live heaven on earth. Jesus started this whole thing off in chapter 4 by proclaiming that the kingdom of heaven is here, so change the way that you live, change the way that you operate, change the way that you do things. And if we were to take a step back for a minute and we just looked at the Sermon on the Mount, we would say, imagine a world where everybody lived according to these principles. Imagine a world where everybody chose to forgive, where everybody chose to love, where everybody laid down their arms and laid down their rights and instead pursued reconciliation and peace with others. Imagine a world where people are given the benefit of the doubt. Imagine a world where forgiveness is freely extended and you don't have to be suspicious of people's motives. You might call that place heaven. And this is exactly what life in the kingdom is intended to be. But the problem with a perfect society, the problem with heaven, is me. It's you. It's us. It's we, right? It's all of us. That we all mess up. We all take things too far. We all try and grab and try and take. And so if I lay down my rights, then I'm just going to get taken advantage of. So I have to set some boundaries. I have to be strong in certain areas of my life. But all of this is in response to how sin broke our relationships and our ultimate relationship with God as well. Because we all lived our own way. We all carried pride, selfishness, shame, and guilt. And no amount of self-improvement can fix a heart that is separated from God. And that's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus entered in, was to live the perfect life that we couldn't live, to die the death that we deserved on the cross, and to rise again so that we can become children of God. And then the invitation of the kingdom, this invitation that Jesus has been extending to us throughout the Sermon on the Mount, isn't try harder, it's just come home. Just come home. Because God wants to be with you. And the truth is that God, he loves you where you are, but he loves you too much to leave you there. He loves you where you are, but he loves you too much to allow you to stay in the filth, to stay in the mire. He loves you too much to watch you walking towards a cliff and to not stop you from going over it. You see, he's a good God. He loves you and he wants to be with you. He's a good father who wants to take care of his children. And so faith keeps on knocking because it trusts that our God is a good God. He's a good father and he wants to bless his children. Some of you in here or watching online, you need to start praying again. You need to start knocking again. And just to take a little bit burden off of you, it doesn't have to be polished. It doesn't have to be impressive. Some of the best prayers in the world are when we reach our hands up to heaven and we just say, help me, Dad. Help me. I don't know what to do. Some of the most impactful prayers are when we're sitting in our car and we just start crying or we just start yelling because we're so frustrated and angry. We don't know where else to turn. So we turn to the one who can ultimately fix what's going on. He doesn't want King James English and these big flowery prayers. He just wants you to be honest with him. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Truth is, some of you have been seeking everything except for God. You've been seeking after relationships, success, money, addiction, entertainment. But deep down, you already know that nothing in this world can satisfy your soul, because your soul was created for another world. Your soul was created for God. And so my prayer today is that this isn't just another moment for you. This isn't just another sermon, but this is your moment to make a decision, to choose a different way of living, because Jesus made a promise. He said, those who ask, they're going to receive. Those who seek, they will find. And to those who knock, the door will be opened. Not because you earned it, not because you're good enough, but because God is good enough. Father, I just thank you for those watching online today, God, and I thank you for those listening via podcast. God, I ask that you would bless them. I ask that you would reach down right now, God, and that you would speak to them where they are. God, I pray that this message today would stir something inside of them to say, I need to make it right. I need to come back to God. I need to start asking, seeking, and knocking again. I've been discouraged in the past. I've been frustrated that things haven't gone my way. But I'm going to take a step today and choose to trust my good Father in heaven who wants to give good gifts to his children. If you want prayer, I would encourage you to send us a message. Whatever platform you're watching this on, send us a message so that we can pray with you, so that we can minister to you. We would love to connect with you. God bless you guys, and I just pray that you have a great week, and we will see you hopefully on Sunday. God bless.